month, November, and the weather hasn't changed. They say this is the wettest they've ever had it in history in Ottawa. So we're just going to do the same thing in November as we did all the rest of the year. I have a calendar, and when you turn the calendar over, they have these neat little words on it, and the words for this month actually were quite neat. It says, there's always time for gratitude and new beginnings. So like starting a new month, and so much to be thankful for, and we are very thankful that Kathleen is here with us today. She, after suffering a mini stroke less than a week ago, God is good, isn't he? He certainly is. And healing takes time, so we switched lessons. That means all your homework is going to be done for next week when Kathleen does her presentation in Psalm. So today, though, we are looking at Psalm 31. And Psalm 31 was written, it's a prayer written by David. And it's interesting because it was given to the choir master to be put to music. And I just would love to hear that song, because during the whole psalm, you're going to hear a very deep, stressful David. And then you're going to hear a jubilant, praiseful David. So I can imagine that song must have gone from major to minor to happy to sad. But right now, David has some wonderful words for us, because we all are touched to some degree with a wonderful word called stress. And nobody's going to be as bad as David is when you see what's going on. But we all are touched with it. So let's just open our hearts and our minds. Put everything else aside this morning. I want you to hear what God is saying to you directly. Each one of us are unique. We are all different. And he speaks to us all in a different way. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here on this very wet, miserable day. But we know you have something to say to us. And I know we have all our knapsacks of problems and concerns and stresses with us. Help us just to lay them at your feet. Help us to open our eyes, look at what David is saying and what he can share with us. We just ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's not known for sure, like in many of your other different psalms, we do not know exactly what David going through. There's a lot of speculation out there, but we don't know. But one thing we do know, and I really like the way one described it, he was in a pressure cooker of stress. Ever had one of those things? I had one many, many years ago. The pot terrified me, because it would start on the stove, nice and quiet, and then that pressure would start to build, and that little thing on the top would start to wiggle back and forth, and the steam would start to come out. In the end, it all calmed down and everything was fine, but there was something about that pressure building and not knowing what was going to happen. It almost looked like it was going to explode. But doesn't that beautifully describe stress? It starts, then it builds one thing upon another, and then we start to steam. And at times, there are times when we feel that we are just going to explode. We are overwhelmed, and we just don't know which way to go. Well, this is where David is right now, and it's interesting because there was a fellow, his name was Hudson Taylor. He was a great missionary to China, and he had a lot of pressures. I mean, he was constantly faced with death, and many things were affecting him, but he had some very wise words. I wrote them down there, and it says, it doesn't matter really how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. And this is the key. See that it never comes between you and the Lord. If you've got that connection, then that's where you are going to be strong. And that's exactly what David did. He was strongly connected to God. Let's just have a look, first of all, and see where poor David is, because 9 to 13, I'm just going to skip into there, because this is where the root of his problem is. And it's really good when you're going through stress and anxiety to really find what your root of your problem is. So here it is. This is taken by the New Living Testament, by the way. Lord, have mercy on me, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from my grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by my enemies, despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me, and when they see me on the street, they run to the other side. I am ignored as if I were dead. as if I were a broken pot. I have heard many rumors about me, and I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. That is one pressure cooker of stress, isn't it? He has a lot of things. There's a lot of emotions that are coming out at David at this time, and I just tried to capture some of them. He just seemed, and you can identify with them. Like when I was going over them, I said, oh yeah, I've been there, and maybe not all at once. This poor guy's going through them all at once, but they're there, and maybe you might feel overwhelmed. He was. He was filled with sorrow. He was filled with grief. He was actually physically ill because of the stress, and that does it to you, doesn't it? Sometimes we are there. He feels rejected. He fears for his life. Now, we might not fear for our life or somebody trying to physically kill us, but there are certain times that we may fear for our life. He feels forgotten. He has a sense of uselessness and like a broken pot. That is a very group of feelings that we can all identify with. And although our stresses aren't caused like from David, I know you've all probably heard the top 10 stressors that there are. Here's just a few of some of them that can give us these feelings. You've got your death of a spouse or a loved one is very high. There's illness, divorce, job loss, financial setbacks, a move, that's stressful. But stress doesn't have to be from this top 10 or whatever they do all their studies on. Stress can come from everyday living. And now we have a lot of experiences, our children or us. It doesn't have to be children. Bullying happens at all sorts of different ages. And then you have quarrels. You've got physical and emotional abuse that are out there. You've got caring for loved ones that are ill or sick, aging parents that need caring for. Sometimes you can add Christmas to that. That Christmas is supposed to be a joyful time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but unfortunately stress starts sometimes when you even turn that calendar to November. Never underestimate those small little stresses that creep into your life too, and they gradually pile up. Even as simple as inviting 20 people for dinner, thinking it was a wonderful idea 2 months ago, and then just 1 week before they all come, that's when things all start to follow. But identifying what your stresses are, what does David do with these feelings? These are a whole bunch of feelings that we have to do something with, and he's got a wise decision. He first of all comes to God, and he just lays it out. He pours it all out. We just read what he said to God. This is where my situation, this is where I am, and this is what we can do. We don't have to worry about somebody listening to us because we can go somewhere and just pour it all out to God. And then what he does, secondly, he boldly in faith goes to God and he says, this is verse 13 to 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me." And for us, we could say, deliver me from whatever is causing you stress. Do you see those words? I trust in you. You are my God, and my times are in your hands. Those are words you need to tuck away and pull out at any time you start feeling stress. This week has been filled with all sorts of unexpected things, and I have used them over and over again, but I started the wrong way. See, I had these words, and I said, okay, I found something I was having difficulty dealing with. I got the words out, and I said them. Nothing happened. I felt the same. I said, this is not working. So I said it again. Nothing happened. And you know what? I eventually learned, it takes a while sometimes, but I eventually learned that these words, when I said them, were taking me away, not the problem was still there, my stress was still there, but it was taking me to a place where I was putting more trust in God and just saying, take it, deal with it. I don't know what to do with it. And it was a peace. I guess if I had to call it anything, it was a peace, but it didn't come right away. So they're not magic little words, but they are in a way because they build up that strength around you and helps us when we're dealing with all these different stresses we have, because times, when he talks about times, times are changing. We never know from one day to another what's going to happen. And sometimes we have life-changing changes. Look at David. He was this powerful king. And then the next thing you know, and this is where they think Psalm 31 was written from, is that he was running from his son, his rebellious son, who wanted to be king and didn't mind killing his father to get there. But his life was totally changed. And he turns to a steadfast and an unchangeable God. And that's where we need to go to this God who is our rock and our strength. The Psalm 31 starts, now that we know where he was, it starts with how David comes to God. And this is what he says. O Lord, I have come to you for your protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. Think of the worst thing you've been through. Aren't those good words to come to God with? Assertive and confident that God is going to be there to help. And I like the word quickly. You see, he says it. He says it himself. Like, I wanted my problem done quickly, so I thought if I said those magic words, I'd get it done quickly. And even David said quickly. There was a very interesting little story. It was in a Reader's Digest, actually, and there was these two friends, and one of them happened to be, they call them, I'm not sure about all these different stress things, but it's called type A, and that's supposed to be a self-imposed stressed person, which is very easy to do. Sorry? Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. Sure, that's okay. A self-imposed stress person. Obviously, we have a few in here. Anyhow, her friend was determined that she wanted to calm her friend down, so she invited her over for dinner. And then when she got there for dinner, she was busy preparing, so she got her to sit down in the living room. She gave her a tape that she put in for her, and the tape was on relaxing, becoming de-stressed. And so she went back in the kitchen and prepared supper. Well, it was around 15 minutes later, the friend comes in with a tape in hand, puts it down on the counter and says, oh, it was good, but I don't need it. Her friend looks at her and he says, well, you couldn't have read it, or you couldn't have seen it. It was a 70-minute tape, and you finished it in 15 minutes? And the friend looks, oh, I saw it. I fast-forwarded it, the whole thing. You know, and that's exactly kind of the way we go through things. We want to fast-forward. We want to get to the end of it, and God does not fast forward. He is just one where we need to sometimes wait. And waiting is not easy. Waiting is waiting in faith and trusting that he is going to come through and you are going to get out of whatever you are in. David says very vehemently here, says, since you are my rock, there is no discussion whether he is or he is not. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me, guide me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That is giving your whole life over to God. It is making sure that he has every single bit of it. It's like a childlike trust that nothing can ever break. Stress, actually, when you have this faith, there was an interesting little statement here. It says, stress makes you believe everything has to happen right now. Faith reassures you that everything will happen in God's timing. So we need to put our spirit into God's hands. Did you know, this is a long time ago, during the time of Jesus, when little children went to bed, there has a very special prayer there said, I remember my parents teach me, I was really, really young, but I remember them saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And there was more to it, but we won't go there because that was terrifying. But the little children in the Jewish children would say from Psalm 31, into your hands I commit my spirit. Every evening before the darkness came. And who knows, maybe even Jesus learned that when he was a little boy. But this was putting a dependence on God and just giving everything over to him. I liked one of the commentators had said, he said, the most comforting truth to remember in trials is that they are under the control of our sovereign God. God knows exactly what he's doing with us, and we just have to trust him. He knew exactly what he was doing when he saw his son suffer and die on the cross also. And that was a huge sacrifice that he gave for us. So he is surely going to take care of us when we go through our problems. And Jesus, when he did die on the cross, his last words were, I commit my spirit. That's right. And so while we're waiting to one day be with our Father, we have to sit here and wait. And we are waiting under the umbrella, like you really need an umbrella today too, don't you? Just protect you from the rain, but they protect you from the sun. But there's also what they call an umbrella of God's goodness. And it's fun to be under there. When things are going good, we can praise God under our umbrella for the blessings he's given us. But you know what? I don't like sharing that umbrella with trials and problems and difficulties. There is just no room for them under my umbrella with God. But unfortunately, this is part of God's love for us. When we go through these things, he is there beside us, training us, helping us grow, and to learn to depend more and more on him. David knows about this goodness of God, and he says in verse 7, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. God's goodness. He will never, ever let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's always there. And there's that, it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Probably some of you even memorized it at one point. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But, always a but, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And that's exactly what it is. Remember when I was talking about those words that I wanted this magic fix? But that's exactly what he was doing. He was strengthening me so I could stand up under the stress that I was going through at that time. And David knew very well. He didn't have these words to read. Like, we're very fortunate to have the New Testament and everything that's in there, but David didn't. But he had practical experience all through his life as a king, as a shepherd, out in the fields. His relationship was there, but he had a lot of troubles, and he always withstood it because God was there beside him. And then he says in verse 8, you have not handed me over to the enemy, but you have set my feet in a spacious place. I said, well, that's interesting. Do you know what a spacious place is? A spacious place is where you can be. We can be there too because God's there with us. It's where we are free of our fear of stress. We can move around. We don't have to be locked in the house. We don't have to be afraid to go to a situation. We don't have to say, no, I can't do that. I've never done that before because I no way. It's these fears that they hold us back. And David is saying, release it. Let God take care of it. And you can walk here because God is walking beside you. It's a great place of freedom, ladies, this spacious place that David is telling us about. And he says in verse 19, how great is the goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. All this trust that David has for God results in an exuberant amount of praise. That's not easy, is it, to praise when we're under our umbrella of stress and everything? It's hard to praise God at that time. But this is what David does. I mean, you see him slink down, but then he's up praising God. He says, praise God, for he has shown me the wonders of his unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. In panic, David panicked too, I guess. You ever panic? I cried out, I am cut off from the Lord. But you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. Did you notice he didn't say right away, I think you have to be very careful when he answered, but he kept his faith. And it doesn't say anything in that statement that David's battle was over. It didn't say anything that his circumstances had changed. He is just standing on this renewed strength that he finds in God. David has a few pointers for us from the psalm. I just want to underline a few of them. First of all, he had, or is telling us, develop a strong relationship with the Lord. That's just between you and him. Don't bring your friend along that day. You can do that, but there is a very important time when you need to be alone with God. And then he says, have a strong personal relationship. Know that God is your refuge and shelter. Do you see in those verses we read? David didn't say, well, if you're my rock and shelter. You are my rock and shelter. He is a rock. Know that he is your protector. Totally depend on that childlike faith in all situations. You're giving to something you're not sure of? My times are in your hands. You deal with it. That's a wonderful kind of freeing words. Know God is a loving God at all times. He's not out to hurt you, is he? He's there to protect you and guide you. Know that he is full of goodness. Walk under that umbrella with him and share the trials with him also. And then David kind of ends with, so be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. And that's very similar to one of my favorite verses, actually, is Joshua 1, verse 9, where it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, not that we're ever terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, doesn't matter where you are, he is there with you. It's interesting when you read the Psalms, there's kind of this thread that goes all the way through them, and it has that David down, and then he goes up, and then he has that trust in God, no matter what. And it's there in many of them. If you were to go through each one of those Psalms, you would probably find it. It's just like a roller coaster. That's what life is. And you know, you might be saying to yourself, and sometimes I do this. I said, really? Well, I tried that, and it didn't work. I give everything over to God, all my stresses, all my problems. And then when I'm alone or at night or not doing anything, guess what? I take them all back again, every one of them. And then I start to worry all over again. So, I mean, it's just like an up and down. I says, what's wrong with me? But David does the same thing. It was really exciting to see that he did that too. So he starts, remember in verses 6 to 8, he said, oh, I trust in you, God, and I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. You have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. Yeah, that's a major sound. That's a happy sound. And we're there sometimes. But then look how he goes right down, that roller coaster, right down in verses 9 to 13 that we first read, where he was talking about his sorrow and his anguish. And then after that, he doesn't stay there. And I think that is the key for everybody to learn from David. He doesn't stay down. He fights. And we do have to fight, because every day sometimes is a battle. And he fights and he gets himself back up, but he fights by using positive words to God. He says, but I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. My times are in your hands. That's him back up again. But it's not long till he goes down. But you know, when we do have that roller coaster of life, we're not alone. We're doing exactly the same as many of your very famous people in the Bible did, and God ever deserts you. But we just have to make sure that we don't let those emotions can sometimes totally control us if we let them. And we have to make sure that we keep in control by bringing everything to God. There was a little prayer that I had found, and I just thought I would write it down, because some of you might be able to say, that is exactly me. And it's almost saying the same as David, though, because he's reaching out and back to God. So it's just, I'll just read it. I think you can read it all right up out there. It says, dear Lord, you know the difficult things I am dealing with. You know how my mind won't stop thinking about everything. I feel stressed and so unsettled. I'm worried about what is going to happen. Please take the burdens and the what ifs from me. Help me to focus my thoughts on you and not worry about what could happen. Please help me to take one day at a time. And please lead me and guide me and take control of the situation. Do you see those words? Lead me and guide me and take control. That's what David said. Basically the same thing. Please give me your wisdom and fill me with your peace. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. That is just touches many things that we just deal with on a constant basis, daily. And it just reinforces, even in modern times, we need to take them all back to God. Psalm 31, full of happiness but met much depression. David writing from a whole area of stress that we'll never, ever face. But what wonderful words he has for us to take with us, arm us, as we go out in another week and have to face whatever we face. We've turned into a new month, and I would love to say that every time I turn and I do have those new beginnings, I could leave all the garbage behind. But they don't, do they? They follow us. They come into the new month with us, and then they join with everything else we're going to have to face in November. But now we have a plan. Now we can approach life as David did. So make sure you give everything over to God and just rejoice that he is beside you. God bless.
Nope, I'm on. Now? Okay. I had this fear that I'm new with having a phone, and I always had this fear that it's going to ring at the wrong time. Well, it's happened now, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. So my name's Tracy Hagerman. I'm one of the small group facilitators here at Take a Break, and I want to say thank you, Agnes, for that. That's spoke to me huge.